Good afternoon. We're reading from Philippians chapter 2, from verses 19 through to 30. If you've got a pew Bible there, that can be found on page 1673. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him, who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker and fellow soldier, who is also a messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because he heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honour people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Jason. If we haven't met, it's good to be here with you. We have been looking through Philippians, and it's a pretty straightforward book, really. And it's just hard to apply it to our lives. So that's kind of the battle that we're in. We're asking God, as we look at his word, to put his spirit to work in our hearts to change us. So let's pray that that would happen now as we look at God's word together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for the scriptures. Thank you that you speak to us through them. We're very thankful that you're a living God who comes to us today seeking relationship with us through your Son, the Lord Jesus. And we pray, Father, as we hear your word now, that by your Spirit you'd actually put it to work in our hearts, and, Father, you'd transform us to be the men and the women that you made us to be. Father, we pray for this, knowing that your word is powerful and it never returns to you empty. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking about who we honour during the week as I was looking through this passage, and I've been watching a lot of athletics lately. I love athletics. My mum has a Foxtel account, which means that I'm able to watch Foxtel free of charge in my house. And so I've been watching the Commonwealth Games on 7+. You can just watch like non-stop men's pole vault if you want. And I've been watching the World Junior Athletics Championships, which is under 20s, and the Diamond League started yesterday. And so I've been watching a bit of that as well. And it's stunning how skilled these people are. I don't know if you heard, but a few weeks ago in the World Championships, Eleanor Patterson won the World Championship for women's high jump. That's amazing news, right? You've possibly heard of it now because of the Commonwealth Games happening, but you may not have heard of it if it wasn't for that. When it happened, there was one small article in all the mainstream papers about it. Now, that kind of irritates me because rugby league gets a lot of coverage in Australia. And the time that she won the World Championships in high jump, Benji Marshall was announced as the coach of the West Tigers. Like, who cares, right? And that was all over the papers. Yet in the meantime, she's won the World Championships. Tiny little article. Now, how many people do you think play NRL in Australia? Less than 200,000, right? Less than 200,000 people play NRL. How many women in the world do you reckon have had a crack at high jump? I'd ask you to raise your hand if you've had a crack at high jump in your life. Don't do it. At 8:30, they all went straight up, right? Don't get the rhetorical thing yet. But like the whole world, like everybody is having a go at high jump in the world, right? And she is the best in the whole world. Do you know what she will get if she wins a gold medal at the Olympics? She'll get 22 grand. If she wins 50 gold medals at the Olympics, she can only get 22 grand. You get to pick which gold medal you want the payment for. If they think she's going to get a gold medal, they'll give her an AIS scholarship, which is worth 16 grand a year. Do you know, that's not even half as much as the captain coach of the Burdekin Roosters gets paid for 12 months, or the Herbert River Tyke Crushers. Isn't this a great disparity, right? Last night, Ollie Hoare in the 1500 metres, the Blue Ribbon event. Simon's laughing because he knew that I'd be watching this and talking about this. Yeah, it's right. Yeah, Ollie Hoare won the 1500 metres, right? He beat like the last two world champions to win that race. He took 2 seconds off his PB. It's the Blue Ribbon event in world athletics, I think. The last Australian to win that was a guy named Herb Elliott. Every second school in Australia has a sporting house named Elliot. I don't think there are going to be any naming their schoolhouses Hall. That just wouldn't work with high school kids. But the reality is, it's a big deal, right? It's huge. Yet, most of you guys will go, oh, yeah, the 1500 metre runner. What's his name? These guys need more honour than they're getting. Why is society, and I wrote a comment in the Daily Telegraph comments section about this under my commenting pseudonym, and it got 22 likes, so I felt like the people are feeling this. Why as a society are we giving honour to people who, I guess, don't really deserve it, and we're not honouring those who do? Who do you honour in your life? Who do you look up to? Who are you impressed by? Well, in this passage we're looking at today, and it does actually relate somehow, as Paul continues this letter that he wrote to the church in Philippi around 62 AD, about 12 years after he visited the church he wrote this letter, he commends two people to the Philippians for them to honour. He actually says, honour these people. These people are great. And they're not athletes. As far as we know, they weren't gladiators. But they're the kind of people Paul calls Christians to honour. We'll think about why he calls them to honour them in a moment, but as we do look at these two people here, it's worth asking yourself, who do I honour? Who do you look up to in your life? Who's one person that you can think of? Who do you want to be like? Who do you talk about as impressive? Well, let's have a look at these people that Paul talks about in Philippians 2. Paul commends Timothy. He's the first one, because he puts his own interests behind those of Jesus. Have a read from verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Timothy became a follower of Jesus, a follower of Paul, in Acts chapter 16, in verses 1 to 3. Acts chapter 16 is also where Paul first went to Philippi, and he took Timothy with him. So Timothy's a new believer. Some of the people in Philippi would have already met Timothy, especially some of the original members of the church, but most of the church probably wouldn't have met Timothy. So Paul's commending Timothy to them here because he's hoping to send Timothy to them to get a report. So today, if we want to know how each other's going, we ring up. If, you know, we ring our family overseas, or ring our family interstate, or we send a message or whatever. In those days, you sent a messenger and you got a report back. So Paul's saying, I'm sending Timothy to you. I just want to let you know, he's an incredibly commendable character. Paul makes a big statement in verse 21, and I don't know if you grated on it as you read over it. Actually, starting from verse 20, really. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. That's distressing, isn't it? It's like really great for Timothy, but it's sort of distressing for everyone else. Verse 21, for everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ, except for Timothy, that is, who seems to be pretty good. Paul's making a statement of fact here as far as he's concerned. We're primarily selfish people. Our priority is ourself. We're not interested in putting our own concerns behind those of Christ Jesus. This is a problem because fundamentally as Christians, we elevate Jesus to the highest place. We actually see him as the eternal Son of God who was there at creation, the agent of creation, we say. And we say that he took on human flesh in order to redeem us from our sin. We actually understand the Son of God to have come into the world as a man in order to be crucified on a bloody Roman cross. The Son of God, the one who flung stars into space, humbled himself to death on a cross to pay for our sin. In order that if we believe in him, we might be raised to life. Forgiven, redeemed, right with our Creator. That's what we think of Jesus. We think that he's the greatest. We think that God's exalted him to the highest place. We actually believe that one day, whether it's on the day that we all meet Jesus face to face or in our death, we'll stand before him as our judge. We elevate Jesus to the highest place. Yet Paul says, everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. I've got nobody like Timothy. And Paul's got a lot of great Christians around him, but he's saying they're also selfish. That's a discouraging statement, isn't it? This man, Jesus, is worthy of honour and praise. He's worthy of us prioritising every facet of our life around him and our children's lives around him. But discouragingly, Paul says it's not really happening much. Yet Timothy, this is what's so commendable about him, he puts his own interests behind those of Jesus Christ. Everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus. Timothy puts his own interests behind those of Jesus Christ. His life shaped around serving Jesus. He's partnered with Paul. He's become like a son to Paul in the service of the gospel because he gets the significance of Jesus. And that's why Paul's sending him, because he prioritizes serving Jesus ahead of his own interests. Commendable. There's a young woman at church, at morning church. Well, actually, she goes to night church as well, but she comes in the morning. And she's not the only one at church who is commendable, but she has finished university. So she moved here from another part of Australia to do university and to get a veterinary science degree. And she came up here and she did that and she did really well. And she's a follower of Jesus now. And she finished her degree, the very thing that she came to Townsville for. Most of us who move to Townsville are always looking forward to the day when we leave, right? University students, they often come and they often go as well. But she's chosen to stay around. Why? Did she meet a boy? No, not that I know of. Did she get a really awesome job here? Well, she got a job here. She could have actually moved back closer to her family. She could have moved to a bigger city. But she was so invested in the life of the church, so invested in serving Jesus, so invested in her gospel relationships and in the friends that she was trying to witness to, that she thought, I've got to find a job in Townsville. I need to stay around here. I mean, how commendable is that? She puts her own interests behind those of Christ Jesus. And I pray that she actually perseveres in that. But how commendable is that? And she gives up her Sunday mornings and she comes and teaches our kids about Jesus. She gives up her Friday nights so that she can teach our kids about Jesus. How commendable is that? Now, I want to say there are more people like her at church, even in this room now. How commendable to put the interests of Jesus ahead of ourselves. These people who serve Jesus sacrificially, it's not like they've got nothing else to do. I mean, for all we know, Timothy could have been an avid Dungeons and Dragons fan or a massive Pokemon Go player. He could have had loads of things to do. But instead, he chose to put his own needs second. Why is Paul talking about this now? Why is he cutting in chapter 3 and started commending people, in chapter 2 and started commending people to the Philippians? Usually he leaves that for the end of the letter. Why do you think he's done it here? Well, it's because he spent this chapter telling the Philippians to conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. He's just talked about the great tea bag, the character of Christ, the one that should infuse itself through the lives of all Christians. And as he's talked about this man who gave himself up, who basically decided that even though he could be equal with God, even though he was equal with God, he wouldn't consider it something to be grasped, but humbled himself to death on a cross. As Paul thinks about the character of Christ, he goes straight to Timothy and he's like, by the way, this guy is just like Jesus. I'm sending him to you. He's commendable. The cup of his life is infused with the character of Christ. I said last week in the talk, you know, we shouldn't expect to be praised for our service when we're Christians. We shouldn't grumble and complain when people don't acknowledge our service. We're serving because we've been served by Christ. I actually told the people at 8:30 quite strongly, and I sort of toned it down a bit for evening, but I said, you cannot leave this church because people aren't thankful enough for you. That is not a reason to leave church, because you have been served completely and perfectly in Christ. But I want to say, we need to thank people for service. We should not expect it, but we ought to give it. We ought to commend those who are infused with the character of Christ. We ought to humbly and sacrificially serve ourselves and not grumble, but at the same time, we ought to commend those who serve. I wonder if you know anybody who's demonstrating Christ's character in the life of the church. We are so good at church, at gossiping and critiquing and putting people down. Paul's really great at commending godly people who point people to Christ. And he continues to do that. In fact, he actually gets even stronger than commending Timothy. He says we ought to honour people like Timothy and this guy Epaphroditus. We ought to honour them, which almost seems like idolatry for Christians, doesn't it? But he's like, no, these guys, they're actually demonstrating Christ to us. We ought to honour them. Have a look from verse 25. But I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker and fellow soldier. It's like enough titles there, but he's trying to show just how much on board he is with Paul's work. Who's also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. What a bloke. Epaphroditus, he's from Philippi, but they sent him to where Paul was imprisoned to take care of his needs. He's like a prison chaplain on steroids. Everybody in Philippi, they've heard about Paul. They're worried about him. They can't go themselves. Some of them have got to look after the kids. Others have got really important jobs. You know, some of them are still studying at university, and they're like, oh, what are we going to do? We want to look after Paul. Who's going to go? And Epaphroditus is like, you know what? I'll use my annual leave. I'll go because I think it's important. That scenario may or may not be real. But he sacrificially, he's the one who went. You remember in chapter 1, and you may not remember this, but we said that the Philippians were partners in the gospel with Paul. He said that they partnered with him from the first day until now. And we saw that in Acts chapter 16, the way they partnered was tangible. They opened up their homes. They put food on the table. And then in Philippians chapter 4, we see that they were the first to give, even though they were the smallest financially. They supported the gospel work. And here we see they sent their own. They actually said, yeah, Epaphroditus, you go, mate. We won't have somebody on welcoming this week. We won't have guitar. You go. You go and help Paul. Their partnership in the gospel was so tangible. And Epaphroditus, he was a great guy to send because his character is so other person-centered. In verse 26, we see that he's distressed about the Philippians because they were worried about him being sick. In verse 30, he wasn't just sick. We see he almost died for the work of Christ. This guy's on his deathbed, and he's like, oh, man, those Philippians are going to be worried about me. I hope they don't get too upset. You remember one of the characters of one of the characteristics of Christ was to value others more than you value yourself? Isn't this a great example of that? Here is Epaphroditus, he's on his deathbed, yet he's concerned for, he seems to value more the lives of his brothers and sisters in the church back in Philippi. Now that he's recovered, Paul says in verse 28, he's sending him back. Epaphroditus is possibly the one carrying this letter to the Philippians. That's possibly why Paul's making sure that they know that he hasn't abandoned him. He's actually keen to put his own anxiety to rest and have him back among his brothers and sisters in Philippi. They are, when he comes back to welcome him, verse 29 says, in the Lord with great joy, and they're to honour people like him. Last week, Paul said in chapter 2, verse 5, our attitude ought to be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who was willing to humble himself to death out of obedience to God the Father. Is not Epaphroditus doing the same thing? He's actually risking his life. He's prepared to lay it down out of obedience to the call of the gospel. Paul says, welcome him, but honour people like him. The teabag of Christ's character is totally infused through his life. A couple of months ago now, I talked with you guys and I wrote in Willows Weekly about how we need to help St. Andrew's in town by sending some of us over there to help Damon and the church family at St. Andrew's as they establish a second service. So basically St. Andrew's has kind of been in a bit of a period of decline for a number of years, and they're at the stage where most of their congregation is probably, their average age I think is 74. It's dragged down significantly by Miles, who goes along there, who's 3 months old or something like that. Otherwise I think the average age could be in the 80s. But they haven't got the energy to start something new, but they want to start something new, and employing Damon as part of that, they want to start a contemporary service, but they need new people in order to do that. And so one of the things we can do as a church is we can help them out. Anyway, I talked about this, and the very next week, a lady from 8:30 service turned up at St. Andrew's and said, I'm here to help out with the second service. And she's like, isn't anybody else coming? And then Damon said, oh, I don't think we're planning on starting that till next year. But it's great you could come. And she's like, you know what, I'm going to keep coming. And she hasn't left here because she's disappointed in me like other people do. She's actually left here because she wants to serve the Lord Jesus. She's kind of looked at her life and her circumstances and gone, I can do that. I can go and help them. She actually really loved church here. She's sort of only a new Christian, and she hasn't really been part of a church where she's heard the Bible taught before. She reckons she's learned so much during her time here. She's really thankful. But she's like, I want to go and help them. I want to respond to that call. I commend her for that. I honour her for that. She's gone to offer help that many of us can't. One of the things we talked about at our presbytery meeting this week, it actually was really encouraging. Presbytery is the regional body of churches, and it's sort of made up of an elder and a minister from each church, roughly, sort of, in North Queensland and Darwin. One of the things we talked about at our presbytery meeting is how Willows ought to be a sending church. We are abundantly equipped as a church with people. So I didn't know this, but in our congregations here on a Sunday, our 4 congregations, we have more people attending on Sundays at Willows than there are attending cumulatively at every other Presbyterian church north of Airlie Beach and west as far as the Western Australia border. Like, cumulatively, we have more people here, except for Cairns. Cairns, I think, has 250. But if you take Cairns out, we are like, I think we're a third more people at our church. And these guys are doing a very difficult thing. They're teaching people about Jesus. They're expositing the scriptures. They're taking people through the Bible and trying to encourage people to live God's way in a secular society. It's hard to do. And so we're trying to get that work happening in the city. We're trying to revitalize that church. And our church is in a unique position to be able to do that. I wonder whether or not you would consider being part of something over there. They haven't got people to do morning tea. They haven't got people to do music. How radical would it be if we could send like a bunch of Epaphroditus kind of people over there? I don't think you have to risk your life. I don't think, you know, I know some people from St. Andrews, they're actually really nice. I don't think you will die as a result of it. But I wonder if there are some of you who would consider moving over there. It would be a commendable thing to do. 11 years ago, before I got here, our church planted a church in North Shore. So there are some people who left here, about 30, I think, left here to go and start a church at North Shore. And that wasn't really enough. It was super difficult to get people to go, because it's hard to leave this church because we've got great children's programs, we've got a great youth group. You know, you can come to church on a Sunday, your kids can choose which friends they want in their own age group because there are so many kids that come here every Sunday. And so to say to somebody, do you want to go and be part of a small church in North Shore is a big challenge. So they didn't really get any parents with kids to go to that church when it started, and it's struggled ever since. They've got some great people there who've toiled away and served hard in the gospel, but they didn't really have any, because it's a sacrifice, isn't it? You know, if you've got your kids and you know they're learning about Jesus, you think, why would I move? I don't want to risk it. And that's a really important thing, isn't it? But you know, there are people all over the world who move with their families for the sake of the gospel. Alan and Faye Canavan from our 10:30 service, they moved to PNG with their little kids. And you might think to yourself, well, what a risk, you know? Why would they risk their kids growing up and their safety and their security and them having other friends at youth group? We could see it as a risk, or you could see them as modelling the character of Christ to their children and actually showing them something far more valuable than they might get from any program in a church. See, this is the kind of thing we're called to as Christians, and this is what Epaphroditus was like. He's somebody who was willing to die for the sake of Christ. He was somebody who was willing to do what Paul said they themselves could not do, the Philippians. Consider the Christian people who've been sacrificial in your life, people who you've seen give up things for the sake of Christ. Do you honour them? Do you talk them up like I'm talking up the Canavans to you? I'm not saying worship them, but we should honour people like that, shouldn't we? Because they're showing us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider the people that you should honour. Who in this room is living sacrificially for Christ? Lots of people are. And we should honour them. Do you do that? Do you know who organises the juice and the chips every week in the Arvo? You should honour them. You should actually go and say, I praise God that you do that. I'm sitting out here just enjoying the ambience. Meanwhile, you're rushing around trying to work out whether somebody's bought juice this week, panicking that there are enough cups, wondering if the kids are all sharing the COVID around. Thanks for putting your own interests behind those of Christ. I actually commend you for that. But what about for those of you who've got kids in kids' ministries, like Explorers or Adventure Club or Youth Group? Do you know what I do when I drop my kids at Youth Group on a Friday night? I just stay in the car and I try and make sure I've got the footy on. Sometimes I have to sign in the kids to Adventure Club. I come out, sign them in, I get a bit cranky if the people aren't out early enough, and then I go back into the car and I try and catch up with whatever I've missed out on the footy. How thankful is that? That's like the opposite of thankful, right? Do you know what I should do? Is I should say to those leaders, I honour you for giving up your Friday night to teach these kids about Jesus, to teach my kids about Jesus. What a privilege that you're willing to serve me in that way. Do you want to know what the footy score is? Because I'm watching it while you're here teaching my kids about Jesus. I ought to honour those people. Do you search out who cleans the toilets at church? Somebody actually does it. You don't get the full benefit of that at 4:15, but the 8:30 guys do. There's somebody who does that every week. There's a different person who does this hall and that hall over there. They're not doing that for joy. They're actually putting the interests of the gospel ahead of their own. When was the last time you went up to a musician from church and said, hey, I know you give up your time every Sunday, and I know you practice during the week, and I know when you're in music, you can't talk to people before church or really after church. Well, I just want to honour you for doing that. In fact, I think it's a really sacrificial thing to do. We're very thankful for it. Have you ever asked for the address of our missionaries on the board down the back? It's good to pray for them, but have you ever thought about writing to them? They have addresses, they're real people. Friends, in the church, we're unfortunately often quick to notice the faults of those who serve us. When you decide to serve in a church, you're putting a target on your back. People will critique your morning tea, they'll critique your music, they'll critique your cleaning skills. Do you know what the first thought I had when I pulled up out the front and walked in this morning was? Who made the lawn yesterday? They didn't use the catcher. Like, that's what happens, isn't it? I mean, who would risk serving a thankless people when it could end up in them having a target on their back and it could be costly? Well, the answer, of course, is Jesus, isn't it? He risked his whole entire life in order to serve us. And we ought to do the same, and we ought to commend those who do. Who could you honour? Think of somebody who you might honour this week for showing us the character of Christ. Well, let's pray that we'd be better at honouring than sniping. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the character of Christ and the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. We are owed nothing, and we have everything in Christ. Lord, help us to honour people who model Christ to us. Father, help us to show them appreciation, to give them words of thanks. Father, help us to build them up in the faith in the same way they sacrificially serve and build us up in the faith. Father, we know that you've forgiven us of all our sins, but we ask that you change us by your Spirit to honour people who are like the Lord Jesus among us, that they might persevere, they might press on in this great salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing our final song together. It's a song calling us to praise God. So let's stand and sing.